Let's pray. Father God, we come to you and we give you a help to need for that. We come to you and we just give you a praise for another opportunity to just present ourselves available to get understanding of your word here in training school. We bless you for that, and we just thank you for all that you do. Continue to lead and guide us in all truth, and just give us the wisdom to line up with the truth that's revealed to us. We bless you in the name of Yehoshua, we pray. Amen. We left off on verse 22, Exodus 23, verse 22. And we really got to dealing with verse 22. So we'll start at verse 22. It says, but if thou shalt indeed obey his voice, and do well, go verse 20. Behold, I send an angel before thee to keep thee in the way, and to bring thee into the place which I have prepared. Beware of him and obey his voice. Provoke him not, for he will not pardon your transgression. For my name is is in him. But if thou shalt indeed obey his voice and do all that I command, then will I be an enemy unto thine enemy, and an adversary unto thine adversary. One thing that we discussed on last week is how, or some along the lines of how it's just vitally important to understand who we are as a people, and from that perspective, if we just really take, you know, verse 22 to heart, you know, even on the day, if we just obey his voice, do the things that he tells us to do, then we can rest assured knowing that he will be an enemy unto our enemies, and an adversary unto our adversaries. And so it's just vitally important for us to understand that we live for Yah, and he will fight for us if we fall in line with his words, you know. And I mean, I was just thinking, I don't know if y'all heard about this here, but that was a link that was posted on my Facebook page. And in a nutshell, there was this lady pastor who said that this baby had a demon in it, and in him, and had the parents or something, I guess, to take him on a 25-day fast or something like that. Baby died, and she's there praying for the baby, putting oil on it and stuff like that. And so so people were, you know, kind of just asking, you know, my opinion on it and things like that, and anytime, you know, somebody asked my opinion, then I'm searching for the scriptures to see how the scriptures address it. And I believe it's found in Jeremiah 14, what I had. I think it was Jeremiah 14. I just read it real quick. I just saw that road, so I'm going to go down it. And it just made me think of that from reading this verse. Jeremiah 14 and 14 says, I'm just reading verse 14. There's some other things going on, but I'm just reading verse 14. It says, then Jehovah said unto me, the prophets prophesy lies in my name. I sent them not, neither have I commanded them, neither spake unto them. They prophesy unto you a false vision and divination, and a thing of naught. And that's some different words we'll just kind of look at. It just reminded me of that when we read the scripture. But he says, false visions. When you look at false visions, obviously it has to do with dreams, deals with also oracles and things like that. Dreams, revelations, And so you have a, you know, we've often talked about this, that, you know, there was a time when Christians could get away with certain things that wasn't in line with the scripture. But you're seeing some things starting to manifest more and more as we come into some understanding of some things where Yah is making a divining, a clear divining line of what belongs to him and what doesn't. And so a lot of, you know, foolishness that the church, or at least so-called church, operates in, we're in a time frame where you're going to see a lot more things happen to expose what's not of the kingdom and what is of the kingdom. But again, he says, neither spake I unto them, they prophesy unto you false revelations. You know, having revelation saying, okay, the baby's full of demons. So in order to get the demon, we're going to put the baby on the fast. Like, that doesn't even make no sense. Why don't you just cast the demon out like what Jesus did?
How do they know if it was a demon?
And that's a valid point. And, you know, you don't know it's a demon, first of all. I mean, there's some things that have taken place where, you know, I've dealt with them before. And I just kind of understand, I guess, a little bit more than most. I guess since I've dealt with a few of them. Of what one is. You get a lot of people that try to classify something as a demon and don't even have a clue what you're talking about. You know, when you run into a demon, you know you run into a demon. It ain't going to be no, you know, I'm glad you brought that up, brother. When you run into a demon, it ain't going to be no, I think that was a demon. Everyone I've ever run into, I've never said I thought that was a demon. Even when I saw the first one at 3. I was 3 years old, I never forget it. That, even at 3 years old, I wasn't looking saying, I think that's a demon. I knew that was a demon at 3 years old, okay? Because the thing talked like something that wasn't human. It had a, every last one of them that I have heard talk didn't talk like something human. You know, it didn't talk like something human. And so, you know, you get most people because of ignorance, and that's not a bad word. All of us are ignorant about something. And so you get people that are ignorant about what demons actually are, and so they think they encounter them, when in reality all they encounter is a foolish person. Okay? And so, again, when I saw my granddad cast out a demon, that thing was talking. It was a woman, sounded like a man. she was also throwing up this stuff out of her mouth that looked like Cool Whip or something. And so, and then the one that I had to deal with at the church before, it showed superhuman strength in that. In that the husband and another church member, male, couldn't get her up off the floor. And then also, once I came out there and told it to get up, because it wasn't her, it was controlling her, told it to get up, first thing it said was, I know who you are, preacher. And it didn't sound like her. It sounded like a man.
So it always don't sound like a man.
Not necessarily, but I'm saying there's some
things. I'm just asking.
No, I'm saying not necessarily, but I'm just saying when you encounter one, you know you encounter it. It ain't no doubt what's
going
on.
God's grace, I ain't going to have
to. Oh, you trust me. Trust me. With his grace, you will encounter him if you stay in his grace. You stay in Christ, you will encounter him. For sure, if you stay a part of his church, you will encounter one. No doubt. And so... So, you know, all the ones that we've dealt with, you saw things that let you... I'll put it the best way to understand, because that was a good question you asked. It doesn't always sound like a man, but there are things that go on with the individual that let you know that's not human that you're dealing with, in one fashion or another. So, and so we have to be able to use wisdom to distinguish the difference, okay? But again, false dreams, revelations, and things like that, and divinations which are also kind of like someone, somewhat of a of association as far as vision is concerned, but it deals with witchcraft. A lot of things you see where people are calling the spirit of Yah moving in a service where it looks like it's moving between or amongst preachers and things like that, where they're calling altar calls and things like that. Most of the time you're watching witchcraft. You're not watching the spirit of Yah. People are too quick to call altar calls nowadays. And they want to lay hands on people and pray for them and all this kind of stuff. That's more so on the order of what we're reading here than it is the spirit of Yah. Because it's too common nowadays in the church. It's like it's standard protocol. It's like a standard protocol. And so when you look at it from that perspective, you know, again, verse 14 says, Jehovah said unto me, the prophets prophesy lies in my name. I want to look at the word lies. It's falsehood, liars. I just want to make sure. Wrongfully. In my name, I sent them not. He said, that's why they do it, because you see the colon in associated with the name. He said, I sent them not, neither have I commanded them. I haven't commanded them. I haven't given them, or they're not my messengers. Okay? They're not my messenger. They're not appointed, enjoined with me. Neither spake on these. I didn't speak to them. I haven't been communicating with them. You know, you get a lot of them say the Lord said. Haven't communicated with them and things. So they prophesy unto you a false vision and divination and a thing of naught, no value, vanity, vain. And that's what you saw what this woman did, sad to say. She did it based upon ignorance, and now she's probably, you know, going to get us in prison time.
Well, she had a motive behind it. Because in the rest of it, she was trying to get Social Security cards. She had told one neighbor next door that the Lord sent her over there to get her kids Social Security cards and birth certificates so she can go to Mexico and get her three, I think it was either three nieces or two nieces and a nephew.
Right. Witchcraft.
Yeah.
So in other words, so you see it. Right.
Yeah.
So when you see everything that's associated with that, the majority of the time you see it happening with preachers who do that. Like I said, altar calls have become so common and things like that to the point to where people think that they're seeing a move of Yah, of God, but in reality what they're seeing is visions and divinations. And so it's vitally important for us to understand. Like I said, when we actually encounter demons, I've encountered a few. When we encounter them, trust me, you will know without a doubt that you've encountered a demon. And like I said, everyone that I've encountered, it was some things going on to let everybody know who was in the presence of that circumstance. It was let them know, okay, this is not something that is of the natural here. This is not just somebody acting a fool here. This is somebody who got something going on with them that, you know, that has to do with another entity in one form or another. Like I said, I've heard them talk and all these different things and have dealt with them from that perspective. And so, you know, for that statement to be made that the child had a demon, it was just foolishness. It was witchcraft and all that. And she put herself in a situation where Yah said, okay, I'm going to bring judgment on the circumstance to make a divine line of what belongs to me and what doesn't.
Mm-hmm.
Is that a false interpretation too, where it says, you know, when Jesus said this comes out by prayer and fasting, that didn't necessarily mean for the individual, right? It meant for the person that was doing the casting out. Is that correct?
You're talking about, I think it's... I'm trying to think what passage is in. Let me see. I know it's in Matthew. Well, it's in the Gospels. I'll just say it that way. And so let's just go there. I mean, you know, we'll go back because the passage of Matthew 17. Matthew 17. We'll come back to Jeremiah 4. We'll go back to Exodus. here in a minute, but Matthew 17, we just kind of saw a road and we're going down and we're just going to keep going. Verse 16, Matthew 17, verse 16. He's dealing with the, verse 15, he's dealing with the, you know, child, he's saying the lad falls in the fire and off into the water. Verse 16, he says, I brought him to thy disciples and they could not cure him. When you look at the word cure, that's where you get therapy from. They could not relieve him, okay, heal him. And then it says, then Jesus answered and said, oh, faithless generation, a faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him hither to me. And Jesus rebuked the devil. And that's what I'm saying. That's what this woman should have done. She had, it showed that she was using witchcraft, and also showed that maybe she was ignorant of the scriptures, because when you deal with demons, you cast them out. You ain't gotta send them. And Alan brought up a valid point. That's why I wanted to go there. You don't put the individual on the fast who has a so-called demon. No, the individual who's dealing with some stuff got to have his or her flesh out of the way. And so I just stay at that stage right now. Verse 18 says, Jesus rebuked the devil. When you look at the word rebuked, it means he forbid. He admonished. You know, there were some things that, from him rebuking, he did not allow the devil to did not allow the devil to have his way, so to speak. And he departed out of him, and the child was cured from that very hour. Then came his disciples to him apart and said, why could not we cast him out? Okay. Why could not we cast him out? Verse 20 says, Jesus said unto them, because of your unbelief. So when you look at the unbelief to answer Alan's question, it doesn't mean that you have to fast to cast one out. The fasting deals with the unbelief that gives us the ability, because unbelief means there's some senses going on. Okay? There's some doubt and unbelief going on. And so fasting causes the flesh, and I'm just trying to keep it as simple as I can. Fasting causes the flesh to get out of the way, so that the trust can now be completely up on Yah. When I went on the 40-day fast, it was to bring my flesh under subjection to what I was born to do. Okay, to give me the mindset to get over the flesh, I'm gonna say, for lack of a better way to put it, the flesh realm or the sense realm, so that I could do what I was called to do. So when I went on that 40-day fast, I came out, I think it was back in 95, I think 95 when I went on it, I documented it. Each day there were some things happening, and so I understand how Jesus felt when he went in the wilderness to be tempted by the devil those 40 days, because most people think that, you know, Satan was just messing with Jesus after the 40 days. No, it was every day he was doing something, because every day he was doing something when it came to me, even to the point where he was bringing me in the spirit realm, in vision, in a trance. He was bringing me cold beverages and hot food. He was trying to get me to come off that 40-day fast. And so, you know, from staying on it, it caused some things to happen with me as far as my flesh was concerned. After 3 days, I had no desire for food whatsoever. And so there were some things that was going on as far as the physical body. But back to the verse now. Matthew 17, verse 20 says, Jesus said unto them, because of your unbelief, colon now, for verily I say unto you, if ye have faith as a grain of mustard seed. Now remember now, the way we understand faith, the grain of mustard seed, I'll say it this way, a mustard seed is one of the smallest plants, or I'm sorry, smallest seed that you can come across. You can sit a mustard seed on the head of a needle. That's how small it is. You can fit it on the head of a pin, you know, a bobby pin or whatever you call it, a stick pin. So it's a very small seed. But because of the size of the mustard seed, you get people who will say, well, faith is like that seed. You know, it can be, you can take a small amount, but that's not what the scripture wants us to understand. You have to understand the mentality of a seed. Okay? The mentality of a seed. A seed is constantly producing, constantly growing. So faith from the righteousness of Yah is revealed from faith to faith. It's consistency. Okay? So not size, but great faith is faith that is consistent. Not big, because you can't measure my faith from a perspective of size in comparison to yours, but you can measure how long I stay in it, though. There's no doubt in the end. Okay? So, again, verse 20 says, Jesus said to them, because of your unbelief, for verily I say unto you, if ye have faith as a grain of mustard seed, ye can say unto this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible unto you. Howbeit this kind goeth not out but by prayer and fasting. And so as you look at it, he gives the method by which these things take place, although I did deal with some things as far as fasting is concerned from an experience point of view. But I want you to see some things as far as the word by prayer. Now, when you look at prayer, this kind goeth not out, but by prayer. Now, when you look at prayer and fasting, it's not just a method of words when you pray. When I see pray, I see more than just words. It's worship. It has to do with, the Bible says, pray without ceasing. How do you do that? It goes back to what I was talking about as far as faith being consistent. So when you pray without ceasing, prayer, it's a worship, but it deals with not necessarily what you're saying. It's an earnestness, or to be earnestly, prayer and fasting. So it has to do with like what I had described as far as faith is concerned, being that it has to be consistent. You know, when Jesus told Peter, oh, ye of little faith, he was saying your faith didn't last long. You did good getting out the boat. Remember when we discussed that, but your faith didn't last long. So when you look at prayer, pray without ceasing, that means being earnest. Be diligent, always being focused on things of the kingdom. It's not talking about you going around here saying hallelujah, thank you, Jesus all day. We got to function. You know, we got to go to work. We got to do our jobs. There are other things that we have to do. You know, we have play time. You know, we have serious time. And so we have to function in life on a daily basis. So in order for me to pray without ceasing, that means I got to be earnest with my walk with Yah. Okay? So when you look at it from that standpoint, it goes beyond just words. Yeah, we can pray. You know, we pray every day. I ain't care if everybody to say the Lord's Prayer. That's a perfect prayer. But when we pray, you know, but by prayer, worship, also with words, it does have to do with word, but it's more so to that. Earnestly, prayer, okay? Again, the disciples, when you look at their mentality, the reason why they couldn't cast the demon out is because they weren't earnest. They were a faithless generation, okay? It showed that there was something that they weren't earnestly doing. They wasn't, even if they were talking it up, at that particular time, they was in doubt and unbelief, so they wasn't even talking it. You see what I'm saying?
So what's the definition of earnestly?
When you look at it from the perspective of earnest is like, it's like having diligence. I'm really intent on doing this. I'm really making an effort to stay the course, so to speak. You know, I think this is the simplest way that we can look at it. So it says, but by prayer and fasting, when you look at fasting, it basically means abstinence, most likely from food. And so it does have you know, fasting and prayer does have its benefits, because the scripture does clearly say that there are some things that we're going to deal with in life, specifically in this case, as far as that that demon that they couldn't cast out. He was like, okay, in order to position yourself to be able to deal with this, you have to be earnest. You have to pray. There has to be authority in what you're trying to do that, you know, trying to do. And the only way that's going to take place is it must be some fasting going along with that to get that physical body under submission, you know, under submission, because we're not dealing with the, when you deal with demons, you're not necessarily dealing with a flesh realm, so to speak. So since we're not dealing with a flesh realm, we can't have our flesh or be carnal, sensual, senses. You know, we can't allow our senses to be in the forefront. Because I'm telling you, boy, you run into a demon, it's very intimidating if the senses are not together. You know, I appreciate Janice. She's at least honest about it. She's at least honest, saying, oh, I don't think I want to deal with that. Well, you know, first time I dealt with some supernatural realms as far as the kingdom was concerned, I was like, I ain't ready for that, y'all. You don't have to show me that no more. You know, and so, you know, we all grow at different times, you know, different levels and things like that. And so it'll come in time. But, you know, and so that's vital for us to understand that in order for us to deal with certain things, it can be very intimidating to deal with the, I'm going to just say, for lack of a better way to put it, the supernatural realm like that, where it's manifested in the natural realm, where you're dealing with it just like you're dealing with another individual. It can be very intimidating. Like I said, the last one I cast out scratched me on both sides of my arm, and they were bleeding. And, you know, people that was at the church at the time can testify to it. Both sides of my arms, from my elbow down to my almost my palms, where she had scratched me on both sides, was bleeding. But when that demon left up, my hand was smooth just like it was before I started praying for it. And so, you know, that was mind-boggling to people, kids, and all that stuff. And so that can be intimidating if we're, you know, if the carnality or our senses, we go by what we see, we hear, what we're feeling. That can be very intimidating if those senses are more so in the forefront than it is, you know, our faith, our trusting in Yah. Okay. Again, he says, verse 21, howbeit this kind goeth not out but by prayer and fasting. And then it goes on to the next verse. So, was there anything in that that she was asking?
I'm saying, even in that doing, what she was doing, it makes sense, because having a baby fast didn't have nothing to do with, if she was having a fast because of this scripture, that's a misinterpretation, because for the cast out, the baby didn't have to fast.
Exactly, because when you look at it as far as this passage is concerned, I mean, the lad didn't go on a fast. I mean, why would you make, you know, why would you make something that's supposedly demon possessed go on the fast? Now she probably should have went on the fast. You know,
right.
Maybe y'all would have said, "Oh, you need to feed that baby because you on the wrong page."
Right.
You know, and so that's very true, and that's why I wanted to go there when you mentioned it now. And so that's very true, and so you know, I wanted to deal with that because, you know, it's in the news. You know, our ministry is a now ministry. We believe in dealing with issues that arises, and so you know, obviously she put that on my Facebook page and wanted me to take a look at it, and so I did, and we quoted Jeremiah 14 and 14, and when we was reading Exodus, it brought that back to mind, and so I wanted to address it because, you know, y'all obviously wanted to be dealt with, okay, so we can all walk in and understand it. All right. Any questions or comments along the line of what we just dealt with before we go back to Exodus 23? And remember, anybody in conference call, you're welcome to say something, you know, comment or, you know, or ask questions or anything like that, because this is class. So, all right, now we'll move back to Exodus 23. We'll start at verse 20 again. It says, behold, I send an angel before thee to keep thee in the way, to bring thee into the place which I have prepared. beware of him and obey his voice. Provoke him not, for he will not pardon your transgression. For my name is in him. But if thou shalt indeed obey his voice and do all that I speak, and it is vitally important we got to do all, he says, then will I be an enemy unto thine enemies and an adversary unto thine adversary. I remind me of another post that I read, and I made a comment on one of the, it was a brother out of California. He had found this link that had put all of the names of the Israelites who had died, so-called black people, who had died here just in 2015. That list is ridiculous. I mean, we're just in April. And so, you know, he's a real big guy, big, strong guy. You know, he built just like a gorilla. I mean, he's a strong, big old dude. And so, you know, I just told him, I said, hey, bro, calm down. This is just fulfillment of Bible prophecy. You know, Deuteronomy 28, verse, I believe, 49 and 50. I mean, you know, these things are happening to us as a nation of people. But I brought that up because verse 22 tells us why. It says, but if thou indeed obey his voice and do all that I spake, then I will be an enemy unto thine enemies. See, the reason why our nation is dying, it's not going to slow down, and it's going to increase. You have to understand the time frame that we're in and what the scripture says about us as a nation of people. All signs pointing to two-thirds of us are going to die. Two-thirds of us as a nation are going to die. When you look at history repeating itself, you know, the days were shortened when we fled from Jerusalem into the mountains of Africa, Matthew 24. And that's why the scripture says, you know, except the days be shortened for the elect's sake. The elect is Israel. Anytime you read the word elect, it's talking about the nation of Israel. And so there are things that happened to our nation, but we have to understand what's really going on. We can't just turn around and say the white man or any other man is out to destroy us. That may be the case as far as some, but you can't put that label on everybody. But at the same time, you have to understand this. We have to understand the scripture. The scripture says these things shall take place. And so what I was trying to get my brother to understand, I told him, I said, calm down. This is fulfillment of Bible prophecy. I put the scripture there. I put Genesis 15, talking about the 400 years. I put some other things. I'm like, calm down. Because if you don't calm down, you're going to jump out there in your own ability, and you're going to be fighting Yah now. Exactly. On the list. On the list. And that's what the Israelites, that's what our nation have to understand, that we can't take matters into our own hand, but we have to operate in wisdom and line up with the scripture. If my people, 2 Chronicles 7:14, if my people who are called by my name would humble themselves and pray, seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and heal the land. Well, heal the land has to do with our land as well as us as a people. And so it's vital for us to understand these principles that Yah is allowing these things to happen. And so when you look at this nation that's of a fierce countenance in Deuteronomy 28, verse 49 and 50, they are fulfilling Bible prophecy, just like those people over there in Atlanta fulfilling Bible prophecy. So it don't do no good to go try to fight them. Because when we fight them, we're not fighting what Yah said. So that means we're fighting Yah. And so you have Israelites who don't understand that. So they try to take matters in their own hand and end up, like Alan said, being on the list themselves because they're not doing the simple thing, humbling themselves and pray, seeking his faith. And we do that as a people. Go ahead, Alan.
I mean, even the rest of that scripture where it says turn from their wicked ways, based on what we dealt with on Sunday or what you dealt with on, I think on Sunday, the wicked ways is when we do that that's not on the same page we are, right?
So, upon Miss Dawson Way.
Right.
Go ahead.
So, I mean, obviously when we do these things and they have an understanding we have, but we try to do it in our own self, in so doing it becomes wicked.
Right.
Which enables us to be on the list, so to speak.
Exactly. And so when we learn how to understand really what salvation is as far as our nation is concerned, we'll look at the list and say it's my fault. See, we still blame him. We're still blaming other nations. We're still blaming the police. We're still blaming other races of people. We're still blaming everybody else but ourselves. He said, Israel, when you wake up and humble yourself and pray, then I'll heal the land. So we have to learn how to take responsibility. That's one thing that I learned from our nation. When we as a nation repented, our nation went before Yah, weeping and praying, and said, "We have sinned." Israel today has yet to admit that. So their excuse is, white man trying to hold me back. White man don't like me. Other nations don't like us. See all these other people come over here and they can get stuff that we can't get. And well, no, we're not going to ever get it because we the people. And Yah is saying, I'm not going to let you get all the benefits that every other nation is getting because you're my chosen people and I can't allow you to get away with stuff that they get away with. If you pray and humble yourself, so quit blaming the white man or quit blaming society, quit blaming other people, quit blaming all and take responsibility as a nation. Nation, and humble yourself, nation, and pray. Because when we look at verse 22, again, Exodus 23:22, he makes it clear to us now. This is a perpetual covenant. This is perpetual here. That means this applies to Israel every time Israel line up. Verse 22, again. But if thou shalt indeed obey his voice and do all that I spake. That's Israel's problem. That's our problem as a nation. We want to do some of the stuff, but we don't want to do all the stuff. He said, you do everything that I say, everything that I say to you verbally, everything that I say to you in my word, if you do all that I do, then I'll become an enemy to your enemy. You have to fight. I'll deal with your enemy. I'll become an enemy to your enemy. Verse 23, do all that I speak, then I will be an enemy unto thine enemy. We got to fight. So I say it from this perspective. When Israel wake up and seek Yah in spirit and in truth, John 4:24, when Israel wake up and seek Yah in spirit and in truth, Yah deal with the police. Yah deal with every other nation. When Israel wake up and humble himself and seek his face.
Then
they'll
become Yah's enemies and not just our enemies.
Exactly. That's why he makes it clear. Vengeance is mine. I'll repay. You don't have to march hollering free at last. You don't have to march saying we shall overcome someday. Your overcome ain't going to never come till you seek me. Seek my face, people. As the people of Yah. When you seek my face, your day going to overcome that day. That's why the scriptures say Israel is going to be saved in one day. All Israel is going to be saved in one day. That day is going to happen when we as a nation turn to him fully. All of us. Not just some of us. That's why the church got us so messed up now. Got us thinking this is an individual thing. And so you got people who think, you know, just because they have, quote, Jesus, that they fine. Well, Christian folks, kids getting killed on the street the same way as the folks who not in church, kids. Because we Israel, and do we get on the same page with Yah, it don't matter if you so to speak, a Christian or not. Your kids getting laid out in the street. Or our kids getting laid out in the street.
And that simple, I think that simple understanding makes it obvious why things will have to get worse before that will happen. Because all of us have to humble ourselves and pray and seek his face. When you got some of us that are benefiting from the system, and it's working in their favor, so to speak, and they don't want to, right?
Right.
It's going to take something major to make all of us want to turn.
Right. I mean, I'm thinking about a lot of things that were on Facebook today for reasons that really line up with the lesson. There was this so-called black man, an Israelite, who him and his wife decided to take the steps necessary to protect their two sons. So his ideal of protecting them was, I'm not gonna allow them to dress like black people. I'm gonna make them wear suits and talk a certain way and act a certain way, and they won't be put in a position where they're, you know, they'll be racial profile. And I'm like, and I put, you know, I said, boy, that man crazy, and then I put number sign included. Because, you know, we have to realize Israel, it don't matter what I just saw this, and so I said, I just dropped the information. You can be a billionaire, Oprah, and you're going to go in a store, and they're still not going to let you buy a $50,000 purse to show you that you're still in captivity, billionaire. And what this guy got to understand, it don't matter what his bars got on, that if we as a nation don't line up with Yah, then all of us still gonna be in jeopardy every time one of us pull over. Mm-hmm. Okay? And so they was making a big deal about, you know, that store not letting Oprah have their $50,000 prayer. So I just kind of chuckled and said, that's just Yah rebuking them, letting all Israelites know you can't get enough money to get out of this. She's a billionaire, and they wouldn't even take her purse off and let her see it because they assumed that she couldn't afford it.
I mean, even with the world fame that she had, doesn't mean that everybody know who you are, okay, you know?
Didn't mean a thing. I watched this video of, I can't remember which team he played for. I think he played for the Bengals. Guy played professional football, got pulled over. He was speeding, and the guy, I think we both watched it. The guy was speeding, got pulled over, they arrested him on the spot, and he jumped out, you know, and was, you know, basically thought that by him saying that he was a professional football player, that was going to get him off. Shoot, that guy was, he ain't heard professional football at all. All he was seeing is big black man that can knock me out with one punch. And so he was standing there ready to shoot him. He was ready to shoot him. If the guy had done anything out of order, he'd shot him. All behind a speeding ticket, you know. And so then when he finally got him handcuffed and stuff like that, he felt a little bit better, but you can tell he was really intimidated. You know, but I'm just saying we as a nation have to understand that what's going on with us is our problem. And when Israel wake up and realize that we're our own problem, then we'll quit trying to go march on the White House and Million Man March or 2 Million Man March and all this, you know, protesting and sitting in the middle of the street blocking traffic saying, you know, we matter and all this kind of stuff. We ain't matter until we line up with y'all. And I'm just crazy enough to tell everybody the truth. So I'll tell you the life in a minute. You're the problem. When we come together and pray. You know, I was sitting in a group with a bunch of, I guess so-called elders, because, you know, I was at an event that had Israelites from you know, through different areas, New York, Chicago, and things like that. We had the first day of unleavened bread service, and it turned out really nice, but I was sitting at the table, you know, with these guys, I guess you call them elders and stuff like that, and I basically told them in a nutshell, hey, in order for this thing to change, we as a nation, people are going to have to come together. But before that happens, the elders are going to have to come together. What you have to realize is Moses and Aaron didn't go to Pharaoh by themselves. The elders went with them, but people don't talk about that. The elders got on the same page with Moses and Aaron, and the elders influenced the people, and Aaron was a mouthpiece for Moses to the elders, and Moses dealt with Pharaoh. And so we have to come together as a nation before we come out of Egypt, y'all. It ain't gonna be no individual thing. So that's how we have to understand it. So again, verse 50. Alan, you had anything else for me? Verse 50, or anybody else you're welcome to say. We stuck on verse 22, and it looked like that's what we're going to end to. We got about 9 minutes left. Verse 22 said, but if thou shalt indeed obey his voice and do all that I speak, then I would be an enemy. That's awesome, y'all. I would be an enemy. And when you look at enemy, it means to hate. Y'all say, I'll hate your enemy. One thing when we hate them, it's another thing when y'all hate our enemies. I would be an enemy. I will hate your enemies. I will hate those that hate you. Basically, I'll be hostile to those that are hostile to you, and an adversary. enemy, adversary unto thine adversary. Verse 23 said, for my angel shall go before thee and bring thee in unto the Amorites. See, he's naming the enemies now. The Amorites, the Hittites, the Perizzites, the Canaanites, the Hivites, the Jebusites, and I will cut them off. Now, y'all know some things that we dealt with as far as some studies that we've done before. You have Amorite Jerusalem. Verse 23 is talking about the Amorite. You have Amorite Jerusalem, and then you have Jebusite Jerusalem. So you're looking at Amorite and Jebusites in verse 23. And so you have the Amorite Jerusalem of the Bible, then you have the Jebusite Jerusalem of the Bible. And what you see today in the land of Israel is the Amorite Jerusalem. And a lot of people don't know that, so people go visit Jerusalem, they think they're actually in the city of David. No, they're in the Amorite Jerusalem. Jebusite Jerusalem is the city of David, and it's vacant. It's a vacant park reserve to this day. Not one stone is standing on another, like Matthew 24 says. But because propaganda and people don't understand the true meaning of the scriptures and what the Bible actually says about the city of David, it said that it will be a place of desolation and that you can count the trees. Well, when you go to that park reserve, it is like that. You can stand off and it's like a desert. You can count the trees. Nobody even go visit there. So you have people who say, I'm going to the Holy Land. They think they're going to visit Jesus' tomb and go and visit all these things that these people are talking about. And it is nowhere even close, to being right. Mount Zion and the City of David is one and the same. Mount Zion is in the opposite direction of what the modern-day City of David that they call today. All you got to do is do some research. Then also Psalms talk about it. I'm trying to remember which Psalms now. The book of Psalms reveals what the city of David looks like, or at least its surroundings. Now you can get your map, or you can just kind of you can go on the internet and Google it and look up Jerusalem. Look up Jerusalem, the city of David today, and it is kind of in a drop off like there. It's low, but when you go read the Psalms talk about the mountains covering or the mountains surrounding Jerusalem. When you go look at the modern day Jerusalem, there are no mountains surrounding it. That's why Jesus, when he said in Matthew 24, he said, not one stone be standing on another. He tells the disciples, he said, when the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet, the Roman army, he said, when that abomination of desolation come in, he said, flee into the mountains. You don't see no mountains in the modern day Jerusalem. Ain't no mountains around there. But when you go look at that ancient park reserve, there's mountains wrapped all around. You can see mountains all in the background. And
there's
so,
no places, there's no buildings or anything there.
No, it is not one stone standing on another, just like
so
Jesus
why
said.
The ratio on here is not correct.
No, that's the Amorite Jerusalem that you're looking at. Where that Dome of the Rock is?
Mm-hmm.
You know that? Now, I'm going to tell you some stuff. You know that Dome of the Rock is owned by Muslims? People don't realize Muslims own that. That's a Muslim mosque. In the center of the Amorite city of Jerusalem, that's a Muslim mosque. That's why when they keep talking about they got to tear that down in order for them to build the Holy Temple again, no, they don't, because the Holy Temple is a park reserve. That bad boy is ready to be built upon the real city of David. They don't have to knock that mosque down.
That's the mosque you're talking about.
Yeah, that gold dome that you see, that everybody see when you look at Jerusalem, that is owned by Muslims. That's what Muslims worship.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, y'all, we better wake up. So you got these, and what people don't realize, When you study the history of those Muslims, you say, how did they end up in Jerusalem and get that in the first place? Before. They were there before those Israelis came in. How did they get there? When you go check history, check the Ottoman Empire. The Ottoman Empire was basically a Muslim empire that was divided, I think, in World War II. I think it was World War II. World War I or World War II? Which one is it, one or two? They were just two. I think it is two. When they destroyed the Ottoman Empire, which was a Muslim empire. That's that beast, y'all, Revelation, which was a Muslim empire. They destroyed that empire and divided it. That's why it's called the Middle East today. Before it was the Middle East, it was called the Ottoman Empire. People don't talk about that Ottoman Empire. Them Muslims are coming back together. That's why Revelation talks about that deadly wound being healed. It ain't a man. Preachers keep talking about it's a man. It's the Antichrist get wounded and then he's going to somehow live again. No, that beast is a system that existed once before and appeared to be destroyed, and it came up out of the bottomless pit again because it's coming back to fruition again. And what you're seeing, as far as ISIS and all that is concerned, you're starting to see that beast start to roll. You go study the Ottoman Empire, and you see that's when they started calling the East the Middle East today, after they destroyed the Ottoman Empire and dissected it. That's why the Muslim mosque is in the Amorite Jerusalem today. Them bars was there. Okay? And so when you look at these different things, that's how you understand. I was going to go somewhere. Where I was going to go? I can't remember where I was going, y'all. I got the rolling on that. Forgot where I had told y'all. Look up and go. And so, so these things are happening. That's why I know what it was. And I may be able to find, if y'all give me a little minute, where it's found in Psalms. It's toward the... Y'all give me just a minute. Y'all give me a minute. I may be able to find it by just scanning it. Delana, go get my phone. In the room. Kind of hurry up too, okay? I want to show you this, and then I'm going to close. I'm gonna show you the real Jerusalem is surrounded by mountains, according to Scripture. See, when we start to show ourselves approved, we can't be deceived. And that's what that's how I like how Yah is dealing with us. We can't be deceived. All we have to do is read the Scriptures, and the Scriptures will show us the truth. Psalms 125. Psalms 125. We're just going to read the whole psalm and then we're going to close. It's little bit of things that the Scripture will reveal to us to expose the devil. Now, when I'm talking about the devil, I ain't just talking about the devil as far as what we understand. I'm talking about the adversary. The Bible says, talks about devils, plural. Okay. Now, Psalms 125, verse 1 says, "A song of degrees. They that trust in Jehovah shall be as Mount Zion, which cannot be removed, but abideth forever. As the mountains are round about Jerusalem." Now, you look at that modern-day photo that Denise just showed us, you will not see one mountain around it. It says, as the mountains are round about Jerusalem, so Jehovah is round about his people from his forever even forever. So we know the same way, what the scripture is saying, the same way there are mountains around Jerusalem, God is around his people like that. So it uses a comparison to give us the understanding because our nation knew when this was written, they were able to go to Psalm and get confirmation about the love of Yah for our nation by looking at the mountains surrounding Jerusalem. And they would get the understanding of Psalm 125 and say, as I see these mountains wrapped around Jerusalem, so is Yah wrapped around us as a people. Okay? Again, verse 2, as the mountains are round about Jerusalem, so is so Jehovah is round about his people from henceforth, even forever. For the rod of the wicked shall not rest upon the lot of the righteous, lest the righteous put forth their hand unto iniquity. So what's going on with us as a people? One thing Virgil was talking about, and the other thing that's going on as far as us as a people are concerned. Alan mentioned being on the list. What's happening to us as a people? Verse 3, for the rod of wickedness shall not rest upon the lot of the righteous. Stuff don't happen to us as a people unless the righteous put forth his hand unto iniquity. Now what is iniquity? And we're going to get ready to close. Evil. Okay? Evil. When you look at the Hebrew word for iniquity, it means E-V-E-L, evil. Evil. Okay? Moral evil. Wickedness. So he's saying, Israelite, things get to you. I'm Yah. I wrap around you just like the mountains wrap around Jerusalem, unless there's evil in you, wickedness in you. Then you open for whatever. Now, verse 4 says, do good, O Jehovah, unto those that be good, and to them that are upright in their heart, and for such as turn aside unto the crooked ways. Okay, crooked ways. It means what it means. Jehovah shall lead them forth with the workers of iniquity, but peace shall be upon Israel. They're in a country, that's a people. Okay? And so this is just one of the passages. There are some other passages that's in here that talks about the mountains in association with being around Israel. So you can look at different passages like this, and from looking at these passages, you go look at that land, and you'd be like, man, this ain't Jerusalem. You can't knock down the mountains. And I kid you not, pull up everything you can to look at the modern-day Jerusalem, and you won't see no mountains around it because it's not the city of David. It is propaganda. It is what they were deceived into believing was the city of David. So when you see that welling wall that those Jew boys or whoever those Jews worship in front of, that is an owl. Our nation never worshiped before no wall. So they think that is a wall to the temple. Temple of Solomon's temple, I believe. They think that's a wall to that thing. Jesus did not, one stone we stand up on another. So we stick with the scripture. So you see an owl worshiping, sticking paper up in the cracks of that thing. That's owl worshiping. That's the owl of God. You got Israelites going there, you know, bowing down before that mess in ignorance too. That's why he says stuff in Deuteronomy 28 that we end up worshiping other gods, both wood, the cross, and stone. Well, Jesus wasn't buried on a, you know, wasn't crucified on the cross with a T. We discussed he was crucified on a pole. His hand was over his head. Okay. We got it. Any other questions or comments? We good? Go ahead and close. All right. Father, y'all, we come to you just to give you the praise, honor, and the glory for your word. We thank you that you're revealing to us the truth. We don't have to walk around being deceived. But at the same time, from these truths that you're revealing to us, it gives us the keys, the authority to walk in the power that you've made available through our blessed Savior. And we just give you the honor for him, and we thank you for your kingdom has come. We bless you in the name of Yahushua. We do pray. Amen.
Amen.